Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Friday, the 14th of March, just a couple days before St. Patrick's Day. First hour of our program today, it's our March open line. It's a chance for you to suggest guests for this program, the hours between 9 and 11. If you have political guests, we of course have done many, many shows on politics, or if you have suggestions on health or education or the environment or subjects I have not named, please give us a call. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. In Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. The second hour of our program today is going to be wonderful. The National Geographic, some of you may receive this, has a cover story titled Inside Animal Minds, Birds, Apes, Dolphins, and a Dog with a World-Class Vocabulary. We will have two guests with us. One of them has a really remarkable story. The parrot died, but for 25 years, she spent a lot of time talking to an African gray parrot, and she had the parrot Alex in her lab to teach him to reproduce the sounds of the English language, and it was amazing what this parrot learned. So we'll be talking with her. We'll also be talking with a gentleman from England who's been studying sheep. And it's not widely known that sheep recognize individual faces and remember them long term. It looks at other animals as well, octopus and dolphins and you name it. So it should be a great conversation. That's after 10 o'clock today. Our phone lines are all crowded, so that's good. We'll start our open line right away. 800-486-8655. If you're in Milwaukee, if you would please use the Milwaukee line, that would be dandy. That's 414-227-2050. And we start our calls with Natty from Waupaca. Hi, Natty.
Hi.
Hi.
I would like you to have a show on it regarding the settlement between the government and parents of an autistic child.
Yes, I heard that story. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm very interested in that because I have a six-year-old grandson who has autism, and I would really like to know more details about that settlement. There's still mercury in the flu shot, and I wish you would have that show on.
Okay, Natty. Thank you for your call. John is next from Milwaukee. Hi, John.
Hi.
Hi.
4 or 5 years ago, you used to have a good conservative speaking, if that's not an oxymoron. I think he was from the Milwaukee area, George Mitchell, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure, I know
George. He would make a good guest. I know he's still around because I'll see his name in a paper once in a while.
Okay.
Maybe a good topic would be, and we haven't heard it recently this year, is a show on privatizing Social Security. It would go hand in hand with the stock market and how well the stock market's doing.
Okay. He's done a lot of work on school choice, I know, but I'm sure he goes beyond that.
Thanks much.
Thank you, John.
Bye.
Goodbye. Kay from Madison, hi.
Hi. I wanted to suggest a new book that they said it's coming out in May, The Chris Farley Show. And it's by his brother, Tom Farley.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about, it's reminiscences from his family and friends and people that knew him on Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
And he's from Madison originally, so I thought it might be a chance to use some humor as well as talk about some of the sadness in his life.
Okay. Good, Kay. Well, that's something very different for us. Sounds good.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Kay. Boyd from Milwaukee. Hi, Boyd.
Good morning, Kathleen. Almost 2 weeks ago, there was a cover story on the Journal Sentinel where they were talking about the dilemma with the county transit system.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very alarmed, even though I do have a car and drive for many years, I still have had to rely on the county transit system. And I didn't know that from 2001, it was still $1.35. I thought it was a little up since then, and now it's $2. And routes have been cut to get to the point. If you can address the dilemmas with that and maybe have on the people that are going to be running for county executive and the current county executive on different shows and say, how would they handle that? Because I've even heard talk that the flyer might be on its way out, and that's just going to affect a lot of people getting to work downtown. I know Lana Taylor is one person running for county executive.
Right.
You might want to have her. Of course, Scott Walker, if he's willing to come on. that I think that, yeah, this is something that is, I don't need to say it, this is not good. And I think it's something that really needs to be addressed. And then just another guest was, have you ever had Dan Perkins on your show, Tom, tomorrow? He does that comic strip, This Modern World.
No.
Okay, okay. He'd be another one. I don't know if he's come out with a recent book lately, but his cartoons are always in the Shepherd Express, This Modern World. He has that penguin Sparky, and it's very funny.
Yeah, so. I've been getting into cartoons lately because my son loves them, and some of them are so sophisticated and wonderful. It's amazing what you can say in a cartoon strip, isn't it?
Oh, I'm a cartoonist. Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Right. Yes. The only problem with the county bus thing is that we always run the risk in determining whether a show that might be of a Milwaukee base would have a lot of interest in Madison or Green Bay or Rhinelander. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Of course.
So that could be problematic, but
sure.
We'll give it serious thought.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Boy.
Not a problem. Thanks,
okay.
Kathleen.
Thanks for your call. Mm-hmm. Jim from Milwaukee. Hi.
Yes. Hi. Well, first off, I hope that the cheap topic at 10 o'clock won't be bad. Yeah, enough of that. But a couple of things that I'd suggest. One is that I don't have an objection to Spitzer from New York receiving the consequences. If you do the crime, you do the time. But I think there is a double standard out there, and might be interesting just to talk about double standards.
How so? What's the double standard?
Well, you know, Craig and Vitter apparently get to continue in office.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And today there's a scandal about a Republican who stole $1 million from his own campaign committee, and there won't be, I don't think there'll be much talk about that, even though a Republican stealing from the rich ought to be a news item.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is a suggestion I'd make quickly is that it's just to have a gripe show where you can call in once a month and say, I'd like to complain about such and such because. So, for example, you could say, I'd like to complain about guys that in their 30s and 40s who substitute their truck for Cialis and go down the road 70 to 80 miles an hour and force the price of gas up.
And then we'd have to, of course, balance that with all the good there is in the world, all that we love, right, Jim?
Yes, well, whatever you'd like to do.
Right. What do you think? I've been thinking about this, and then I read Nicholas Kristof's column yesterday on prostitution in the world, which I think is a very interesting article. Do you think we should do a show on prostitution and you know, how it's handled in various parts of the world? And, you know, it was amazing the statistics that he cited about the suicide rates among prostitutes and who enters the profession and how it's been made, what they're doing in Sweden. And what do you think? Is it over the... Have we done too much on this, or should we do a show on it?
Well, you know, I worked in the Wisconsin prison system, and I actually worked at the Women's Center at 17th and Claiborne. And the women who were involved in prostitution-related crimes, they have a lot of difficulties and a lot of adversities to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, maybe you could even get somebody from the prison system that deals with the women, either at Tichita or here in Milwaukee.
It's a good idea. Okay. You convinced me we should do a show. All right. Thanks, Jim.
Sure. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
John from Hayward. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
A couple topics to suggest. One, I guess, just thinking about what the former gentleman was suggesting on prostitution is elected officials and fundamental values, not so much as they would be religious, but just fundamental values and how they conduct themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe having you know, a program on what those should be, what they look like, I think would maybe be useful, because it seems like there's a lot of people in high places making decisions and judgments, and you kind of question, do they have any fundamental values? And I think that we would get more consistent results from elected officials that did have those.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear the show we did? I really like this show on character and experience with these two guys from Time magazine. I just thought it was a really interesting show.
No, I didn't. It would be, though, yeah.
Yeah, but the idea of fundamental values, I like that idea.
And just, you know, that I think that they would serve all of us constituents much
yes.
more consistently and logically, and I think we would embrace them a little bit more if they had a consistency. And I think they wouldn't fall into these problems themselves,
right,
as leaders if they did actually live by those.
And we probably all agree on what they are. I would think.
I think so too. And I think a lot of the problems people have is their egos and putting themselves above others,
right,
instead of understanding what humility is and really serving people versus themselves and things of those sorts.
So, right.
The second topic is in regards to maybe even just involving this with your web page, but having a place for constituents of Wisconsin to go to in a nonpartisan way, and understanding what the House and Senate at the state level are voting on in regards to these bills, or which way they're kind of falling.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it would be a blog or just a way to report on, okay, this senator or representative's leaning this way or that way, and that's certainly a lot of work, but I think that it would, the voting citizens of the state of Wisconsin could actually learn a lot and also be more involved with politics if there was an easier way to access that information. And I think you would find a lot more people accessing your website, and I think that would be, a useful resource for you and us.
I agree.
So, it would be a lot of work, but I think it would be really helpful for everybody.
Right. We just need to do a wee bit better on pledge drives.
So we could
hire somebody to do that, right, John? We'll use that for our next pitch.
All right.
All right. Thanks, John.
Hey, thanks. Have a good day.
You too. Bye. Jeff from Brookfield. Hi.
Good morning, Kathleen. It's good to have you back.
Thanks, Jeff.
I was going to suggest the author James Howard Kunstler. His most recent book is a work of fiction titled World Made by Hand. And it's kind of a follow-up to his previous nonfiction work called The Long Emergency. I don't know if you've had him on before or not, but he basically writes about the effect of what's commonly referred to as peak oil, although his take on it is a little different. And so his peak oil book, Long Emergency, was about, how the increasing prices and decreasingly stable supplies of oil will affect the world in a nonfiction format. And his new book, which just came out in the last month, basically takes that idea, puts it 30 years in the future, and looks at how we're all going to be living at that point.
Mm.
So it's a great read, and I think timely with oil continuing to set new highs every day.
Oh, it sounds good, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be on it.
Bye-bye.
John from Madison. Hi.
Yes, there was something in the New York Times that really hasn't been covered, and to me it's something that's emblematic of this administration. The U.S. Patriot Act gave the FBI the right to generate these special warrants, collection certificates, national security letters is what they call them, on their own authority, and they were only supposed to be used in what they call exigent or emergency situations. Anyway, it turns out that they used them thousands of times to sweep up phone records, email records, etc., on people they shouldn't have been doing this to. And then the senior FBI officials knew about it, and to cover up this, issued blanket letters that were supposed to cover up the improper use of these national security letters. I would like to know a lot of times the news media will say thousands. It turns out to be hundreds of thousands. I'd like to know how many were involved, what kind of people were being swept up in these dragnets of information, and how can we justify these blanket letters to cover up this illegality at a lower level? I mean, this is what everybody was afraid of with the U.S. Patriot Act, that they would misuse their authority, just like the CIA and FBI did in the 70s in the Church and Street hearings. Here we have it right in front of our eyes. How is this appropriate? Well, I'd like to really understand how Spitzer got singled out in this. To me, until I know more, I'm going to have to look at this as perhaps being a partisan attack on Spitzer. And if so, it would be fruit of the poison tree. Not that he didn't do anything that was deplorable, but still, why Spitzer, and why are we not finding out about the other members of the Emperor Club?
All right, well, maybe we will.
Yeah, well, I want to. Yeah. I think in fairness, why should Spitzer be? And what triggered a bank employee to think that somebody that is you know, taking transferring funds in the nature of $2,000 and $3,000 is doing anything inappropriate. That's nothing that would signal anything to me. You know, tons of these people are all the time making horrible, you know, huge transactions. What singled out this employee to go to the IRS, or was this some kind of dragnet that Spitzer got caught up in?
All right, thanks, John. Let's go to Paul from Fort McCoy. Hi, Paul.
Hello. Yes, I do want to push the contract, or excuse me, the privatization button, specifically contracting. I just kind of want to know if you could get a guest or guests on that to take both sides of whether it contracting in whole or in part is working the way it should.
Okay.
I see it at Fort McCoy here where I work, and I just don't kind of get it. It looks like we're spending more now that we've privatized certain aspects of Fort McCoy, and, you know, just kind of wanted to touch on that one.
What's been privatized, Paul?
Some of the workload here has been privatized. A lot of different things have always been private here,
mm-hmm.
but the main public works and a whole bunch of other aspects of Fort McCoy recently, within the last 5 years, just said, well, we're going to privatize it. Mm-hmm. And I just want to know if there is a guest out there that says, hey,
sure.
you know, I've got proof that this doesn't work, or I got proof that this does work.
Sure.
And it is saving the government money.
Okay, it's a good suggestion. Thank you, Paul.
Yep.
Goodbye. Tom from Janesville, hi.
Hi, I'd like to offer a contrary suggestion to the person who said we ought to do something on politicians and values and why they're so bad. What's remarkable to me from town boards and county boards and school boards on up to legislators and federal level, at least at the elected level, is how few nasty people there are. And I'd like you to see if there's somebody who could do a historical analysis and somehow figure out what the batting average is. I think it's not so great at all that there are a few people that screw things up, but I think for people to constantly be bashing elected officials from the local level through the federal level without having some idea of actually how rare that is or how common it is doesn't do anybody a service, and it discourages other people from considering running for public office. So if you consider that contrarian
yes.
point of view, I'd appreciate it.
Point Thanks. Well taken, and we'll try to find it all in the same guest.
Great.
All right. Thanks, Tom. We go next to Pete from La Crosse. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Pete.
In 2007, an author named Gary Taubes, spelled T-A-U-B-E-S, published his book called Good Calories, Bad Calories. And what it's about is that diet, as preached in the U.S., is definitely not good for our health. And the book is quite a volume. There's tremendous amount of background information on it, which would not be suitable for the show. But what would be suitable for the show is the two chapters that discuss how we're eating way too many carbohydrates, how carbohydrates leads to excess insulin production, and the effect of this excess insulin on our health. As I say, it's just a lot of detail in the book, but those two chapters in particular would be really eye-opening to most people who are trying to live on low-fat diets and wondering why their health is falling apart.
And this is a relatively new book, Pete?
Yes, it was published in 2007.
Okay. All right.
It's spelled T-A-U-B-E-S is his last name.
All right. Thank you, Pete.
Welcome.
Uh-huh. By Jack from Oak Creek. Hi.
Hello. Say, I wonder if we could ask to have Lawrence Korb on your talk show. He used to be on once or twice a year. I haven't heard from him recently. He was the Assistant Secretary of Defense, I think, for Ronald Reagan or maybe Bush 1. And I think he's now working for the Center for Defense Information. And the reason I thought he might be a good person to have on, he always came across very objective, no matter who he was working for. And I'm concerned now about how we seem to be drifting towards bribing people to stay in the military with $5,000 to $35,000 bonuses. Even West Pointers are having to bribe to stay in the military. And I just hope that we don't become not a real depiction. We don't want to become a foreign legion or some a strange military establishment who isn't made up of people who represent all of our society.
All right, Jack. Thank you very much for your call. Anne from Madison. Hi.
Hi. Hi. There is an article about the book World Made by Hand by James Kunstler in yesterday's Cap Times
that
you might want to look at.
Okay.
It's a good review. It sounds fascinating. I was really surprised, although I think this was a done deal, you know, a couple of weeks ago, that the House of Representatives met yesterday in its first secret session in 25 years, and they came up with what they're going to do now is they are not going, or officially, they're not going to give immunity to the telecommunications companies that cooperated with Bush Cheney in illegal wiretapping. But from here on out, they're going to allow warrantless wiretapping. I think this is, you know, the most dangerous thing I have ever heard of, and it's really outrageous that they promised not to tell their constituents anything about what they discuss. Should we be paying their salaries if they're keeping, you know, their little corporate business secret from the public? I just think this is absolutely shocking. And they've done a lot of shocking things, but this one takes the cake.
Okay, Anne. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, bye. More phone calls in a moment. It's our March open line. Our number is 800-486-8655. If you're in Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050. John Treader is our phone answerer today. Chat with him for a minute, and we'll get you on the air as soon as we can. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up the second hour of our program today, Inside Animal Minds, Birds, Apes, Dolphins, and a Dog with a World-Class Vocabulary. We'll work with researchers who have done remarkable work with birds and with sheep, but they also know what's going on with octopus and dolphins and orangutans and many other animals. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed how much they know. All right, let's go back to phone calls. It's our open line for the month of March, 800-486-8655, the number 414-227-2050. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, Midge from Madison is next. Hello, Midge.
The proposal that's being presented for to spend about $150 billion on nuclear refurbishing our nuclear weapons and stuff, and it seems to me something, since we've already signed a treaty to get rid of them, that some discussion should be about this, and I haven't seen much in the media at all. And we have in Madison two very fine speakers that I heard at a hearing recently, and one is Professor Paul Boyer, and the other is Dr. Jeff Patterson, and they are well informed on that, and they're long-term scholars in those issues. And I think if this is, if we're going to spend all that money and we're going to be threatening people with nuclear weapons, we need at least to have a public discussion of it, and I wish you could do that.
All right, and where are they? Are they in a department at the university?
Well, Dr. Patterson just has a practice here. He's a medical doctor.
Oh.
But he has also been head of the Physicians for Social Responsibility. And I think Paul Boyer is probably emeritus now, but I'm not sure. But he has written on this subject, and I heard both of them speak recently at a hearing on the, and they did, they made very fine speeches. They know the issue well.
Great. Thanks, Midge.
Sure thing. Bye.
Bye. John from Minocqua. Hi.
Hi. I was hoping that there could be a show on the recurring theme every 4 years of the Electoral College and why it still exists.
Okay. We've been talking about that for a long time, haven't we, John?
Yeah, we have. And of course, these superdelegates bother me, too, because I don't feel like I, as a voter, need a babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess another thing that they could address would be the how to take action to actually get rid of it. Not just why we still have it, but how do we actually, how could citizens get involved to get rid of this?
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right, John.
That would be it.
That's it. Thank you.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Colleen from Spring Green. Hi.
Hi. I would be interested in a program that's not political at all. Well, I suppose it kind of is. On home birthing versus hospital birthing. It's a topic that is really kind of hot right now. There's a movie that's come out produced by Ricky Lake called The Business of Birthing that's being shown all over all over the United States. I've heard a lot from both sides, but I've never heard them actually speak to each other, and it would be interesting to hear a comparison, you know, side by side, by representatives from either side. And there are so many midwives and doulas and
yes,
experts in the area that we could tap into.
All right, Colleen, that would be something different for us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Jim from Salt Lake City. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Jim.
Two suggestions. One, I don't think all the listeners of Wisconsin Public Radio know how great your station is. In Salt Lake City, we're looking at two of our stations being sold.
Mm.
And I hate to say it, they kind of brought it upon themselves. They don't have call-in shows, and it's always one-sided. I feel for them because they do provide a need, but I think maybe if you could talk about other markets or other communities and how things aren't going well, that people will appreciate more what you guys have.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is, I know you're a big baseball fan. I was wondering if you could do a story on minor league baseball in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I know there's a team in Wausau and Appleton, and I think there's one in Madison, too.
Okay.
And I just think, you know, what it's like, you know, trying to compete with all the other summer activities and what they're trying to do to keep it afloat and how much these, you know, kids actually make trying to play the game.
Yes.
It's really a part-time job. And,
yeah.
And anyway, I think you guys are awesome. I love listening to you in the morning and keep doing what you're doing.
Hey, let me just ask you a question. If those stations are sold, will you have access to public radio somewhere in Salt Lake City?
Well, we actually have two. One is through the University of Utah, and then there's another one. I guess they call it community radios, and there's two of those.
I see.
And one is just, I don't know, different kind of music, which is okay. To me, it doesn't reflect the community. I think it reflects every other community, but that's all right. And then the other station, which I do like, they'll bring guests in who will just say blatantly false things, and there's no rebuttal from the host, and there's no call-in.
Mm.
And so I'm just like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they are showing different viewpoints, but when people are saying things, oh, I don't know, about the school system or public government that you know is false because you've read about it or lived through it, there's no way to rebut that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know, we'll get Christian radio instead, or I don't know what they're going to sell it to,
mm-hmm.
Their signal. But you guys are just awesome, and you really are the flagship, I think, for all public radio. And I just think people need to know that it's a lot of work what you guys do, and they should be grateful, because once it's gone, or if it should go, you know, there's no replacing it.
You're right. Life would just not be the same. It's true. It just wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, and anyway, I'm from Wisconsin originally, so I spend 2 hours with you every morning, and I just love you guys.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks so much for your call.
All right, bye.
All right, that made the day. Actually, baseball, well, baseball's certain, you know. Everybody's getting in the baseball spirit. Now, Rhonda and I were talking yesterday about Prince Fielder, who's become a vegetarian, and he's very interested in getting things recycled now. We just thought he'd be a fabulous guest. I don't know if we can get him on or not, but if anybody knows Prince Fielder, help us out, because I think he'd be a great interview. And I like the idea of minor league baseball. That's good. All right. Thanks, Jim, for your call. Let's go to Beverly from Milwaukee. Hi, Beverly.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question, and I wish you would do a show about it, because I don't know real much about it, but I was shocked and really angered at an article I read Wednesday in the Milwaukee Journal about the government giving $200 billion to the banks to bail them out of the financial crisis that they're having because of the mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how they can do that. It's like, the banks, don't they have enough money already? I mean, part of our problem in this economy is at least I know I am a slave to credit card debt, and the interest rates are going sky high.
Mm-hmm.
And how can the government just give the banks $200 billion of our tax money now? You know, I'm already giving almost half of my take-home pay to the banks for interest rates, and now they want to give some of the tax money to the banks also. And I don't know what the process is or what even part of government regulates that. And I would like some more information about that.
All right, Beverly. Thank you.
Thank you.
We go to Carl next. Hi, Carl.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Carl.
A long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, my gosh. Thanks.
In the Popular Mechanics January issue, the cover story was about a diesel engine car there in Europe right now, in Germany, that gets 74.3 miles a gallon.
Mm.
And they compare two of the best American cars, Ford Toyota Prius, they get 54 miles a gallon. And the article claims the diesel engine's going to overtake the auto industry because of its simplicity, and they have it now where it doesn't pollute at all, and it lasts, they guarantee it, like 250,000 miles. You get a copy of Popular Mechanics and get somebody on to discuss this. I think this is. I never heard anybody say anything about this. This with the price of fuel
right.
the way it is could revolutionize the America. Technically.
So you're going to try and get one?
I went down to the local Volkswagen dealer in Green Bay, and I talked to him, and I said, "Well, how come it's ain't advertised?" And he said, "Well, we haven't got it yet."
Huh?
And he said, "Well, it'll be in this fall," and he said, "Well, let me put your name on a list." I said, "Yeah." And he sat down by his desk, and he must have paged through 10 different pages of names before he put my name. He must have 150 people looking for it already.
Oh, interesting.
It's not even here yet.
Huh.
So, I don't know. You can check the proper January issue of Popular Mechanics. It's on the cover story.
Okay.
And it's really interesting.
Thank you, Carl.
Sure, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Eugene from Viola. Hi.
Good morning, Kathleen. Something a little bit lighter. I would like to see if you could find him, and if he would be willing to do it, interview James Arness. I think he's the only one left alive off the old Gunsmoke.
Okay.
And I used to just enjoy the humor of that program, particularly when Doc and Festus would get into an argument.
Mm-hmm.
They would just flat go at each other. And the organization and where they got the material and how they set the show up, and I believe John Wayne introduced that first program. That first show in 1955 when it first came on the air.
Hmm.
Pretty much.
All right.
The humor of it. It was just a good show.
Mm-hmm. All right, Eugene.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Let's go to Vikas from Madison. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
My suggestion is I'm from India, and I wasn't much aware of the concept of microbreweries until I came to Wisconsin. And I feel that there are lots of great microbreweries around the state. Anytime I go to a small town in Wisconsin, the first thing I do is search for a microbrewery and go and have lunch or dinner there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could get someone from the state, there are lots of good microbreweries in Madison, in Milwaukee, who can talk about history of microbrewing, history of just beer brewing in general in Wisconsin, and what different kinds of flavors and what different kind of breweries that are there around the state, that would be great.
All right. Thanks, Vikas.
Thank you.
Tom from Verona. Hi.
I was hoping you might be able to get the folk singer / computer art person / Indian advocate PhD, Buffy St. Marie.
Hmm.
I remember you when Joan Collins was on, I thought of her. She of course, wrote the Universal Soldier song from the 60s. She was put on a list to be banned by Lyndon Johnson because of her protest against the war. And later on, she's gotten into doing she's doing computer art shows.
Oh, really?
And she does Indian advocacy. She is born in Canada. Indian born in Canada, adopted from a family in Massachusetts, then gone to University of Massachusetts, and I think she's finally got a PhD in fine arts. And so she has all these interests, and I know she's given a seminar on Indian rights and brownness a year ago, so she is selectively available. She's dropped out of singing, although she came out with an album in the 90s.
Hmm.
You remember the song, The Universal Soldier?
Oh, sure.
Well, she wrote that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember her well. I haven't thought about her in years, but
yeah.
She would be an interesting guest.
She just dropped out in the 70s. When Lyndon Johnson, her and a bunch of other people like Pete Seeger and people you laugh at, were asked did she not be played on the radio because of the protest against the war in 68.
Mm-hmm.
So she'd be very interesting. She's going on to do, you know, computer art.
Mm-hmm.
She has her own shows on this sort of stuff. And then she still does the Indian advocacy stuff.
Right. All right. We'll try and find her, Tom. We'll try and find her. Thank you so much for your call.
She's in Hawaii. She's available. Look
on
the web.
We'll do it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Kristen from Rhinelander. Hi.
Hi, good morning. I would like to suggest Tom Friedman. I don't know if you've had him on lately. He wrote the book. There have been several editions, mm-hmm. The World is Flat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm particularly interested in it right now. I'm almost done reading the book, and I guess with the upcoming elections, I'm particularly interested in his analysis related to the outsourcing of jobs overseas. And I know there's a lot of discussion about redoing NAFTA, renegotiating NAFTA, and some of those kinds of things. And his thoughts on the emphasis we need to begin to place more on education and our ability to really engage worldwide, and that the we may take some hurts in the meantime, but that overall it will be better for us. I think it's just would be a good, healthy discussion as our elections get closer.
Yeah, he's hard to book, Kristen. We have had him on before, and it's usually in conjunction with the release of a new book of his. But, you know, the time is right. Maybe he wants, it's an election year. Maybe he feels like talking, so we'll try.
Sure. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Dave from Menominee. Hi.
Hi. You know, we've got this ceasefire here with Al Sadr in Iraq, and we're only very rarely ever mentioned. Nobody ever talks about it. Only when we're agreed that there'd be another 6 month ceasefire, and I was hoping that we could get some more besides just saying that, find out why there's a ceasefire. Are we paying a lot of money for that to happen? And I think we got to, maybe realize that even if we had probably 300,000 troops there, if we didn't have this agreement that we have with them, the surge, of course, wouldn't be working at all. And I think we have. I'd like to know more about why Al Sadr is in this truce, and if it's going to hold, or if all of a sudden the truce is done come November of 2008. And then we're in a big mess.
Okay, we haven't done Iraq for a long time. We need to do that. Yeah. Okay, great. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks.
Our number is 800-486-8655, 414-227-2050 in Milwaukee. And it's an open line for the month of March. So give us a ring with your wonderful, thoughtful, compelling suggestions for these hours between 9 and 11. And we'll listen and we'll follow through. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Back to your phone calls. Our March open line is what you're listening to right now. And thank you, Dave, for your call. And we go to Batty from Wisconsin Rapids. Hi.
Good morning. As a preface, we are donors, yearly donors to public radio, so we support you wholeheartedly. I'm calling from Wisconsin Rapids, and we have, of course, a downturn with the paper industries up here. There's going to be a lot of people let go, but I'm wondering if we couldn't have some good news at least a few times a day about what's really good with America. We listened this morning with Joy Gardena and the people she had on, they were all interesting and all, but I tell you, each morning it gets more depressing than ever. There's a lot of good things going on and communities around the state and the nation. So I know it's up to you to bring the news and the nitty-gritty of the news, but golly, it really is depressing sometimes. And there's an initiative here called our Community Foundation Initiative. They're getting the various communities in the area to work together because this layoff is going to impact about five different communities and then some.
Mm-hmm.
And people that never worked together before, animosity between each group mm-hmm. and all, but that's gone by the wayside. So it's just a comment. We enjoy the radio station. We enjoy it, but goodness, we've got a wonderful country here. Let's do at least once a day or twice a day something, what's good with America or something like that, or what's good.
More uplifting programs. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Betty.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. Irene from Conover. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hello. I'm calling about the Keating 5, and I would really like to have some more information since John McCain was involved with that, with Neil Bush and John Glenn. And at the time this all came down, it was the SNL mess with the banks. And now under this Bush, we have the taxpayers' money bailing us out again with the housing. And I think since John McCain is probably going to be our next president, I would like to know about the involvement in detail.
I have a feeling you're going to hear an awful lot about the Keating Five in the months ahead, Irene, but we'd be happy to do a show on that.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe somebody in the area of his state or where this all came, you know,
right,
came together that would really know and explain to us voters what happened.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks. My understanding is that his involvement was, he was exonerated here, but there was some involvement, so we can certainly do a show on that. We'll be doing many political shows in the months ahead. Frank from Madison, hello.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Frank.
Very interesting program. You have some very insightful suggestions.
I
have a less insightful suggestion that it might be worth having either a separate guest or in tandem Doug Henwood of the Left Business Observer and George Stiglitz, who's a Nobel Prize economist, to talk about the structure, not the immediate crisis, but the structure of the American economy. And I think they'd probably be accessible, especially Stiglitz.
We have Stiglitz booked for, you know, I can't remember the date, but sometime in the next couple weeks.
Okay, great.
Okay.
And Henwood wrote a book called Wall Street, and he's a very insightful, non-doctrinaire leftist, so he might be good. And I'd like to point out that you can buy a diesel that gives you 72 to 96 miles to the gallon right now, and it would might be worth inquiring why diesel passenger cars are so rare in America. I can't give you a guess, but you know, that previous suggestion was insightful. And have a good day.
Thanks, Frank. You too.
Bye.
Uh-huh. Bye. Ron from Oconomowoc. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
All right. How are you, Ron?
I'm doing fine. Hey, I called in on Tuesday and talked with you on the Dr. Bibble program about the opinion of advanced lipid testing, and I just wanted to throw this out at you. The lipoprofile test, which actually goes beyond looking at cholesterol, and a few stats with cholesterol, according to a major study, 50% of people that had normal cholesterol went on to have an event. So it's kind of a deceptive parameter, and we look at a number of experts in the field of lipidology. One of them is in Oconomowoc. Her name is Tara Dahl, and she's a huge advocate of looking beyond cholesterol with this simple, inexpensive lab test, blood test, to see if patients are at risk when it seems like they aren't looking at just lipid panels and the cholesterol levels.
Okay. Tara Bell.
Tara Dahl, D-A-L-L.
Oh, Tara Dahl. And where?
Right. She's based right out of Oconomowoc.
Okay. And she's affiliated with a hospital, or
she's actually with the Pro Health Group out of Waukesha.
Okay,
and she's a huge advocate, and she typically does the lipoprofile test in place of a lipid panel for the most part, and mainly because it's probably as inexpensive as a lipid panel, cash cost wise,
mm-hmm.
and it's also giving about three times the information and the parameter that really seems to, according to a lot of the advocates in this field, have said they've reduced events tremendously in their patient populations.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be a topic to explore.
It might be worth looking at.
Yeah, to understand that there's residual risk there that may not be shown with a cholesterol test.
Thank you, Ron.
You bet.
Uh-huh. Bye. Jim from Appleton. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
See, I wanted to just toot the horn of a local Habitat affiliate here in the Fox Cities area.
Mm-hmm.
We've been some remarkable growth in this group. I've been a volunteer with them for a number of years, but I'm really tooting the horn of not myself, but the group. And I thought it might be interesting to talk to John Weinberg, who's the exec director, who brings pretty a worldwide view of Habitat, but brings it back to the local affiliate that's grown pretty dramatically. We built 12 homes last year. Our board just recently authorized 14 for the coming year.
Great.
We've got an extraordinary group of volunteers, particularly what we call our senior crew, who are helping to guide this, and we're doing it. We're getting some national attention. A group of ours was down in Louisiana last month. The people down there know about us, and know, recognize that we're one of the better groups. Another contact we were told said, gee, how'd you get those guys? They're awfully good. So it might be interesting to...
Oh, yes, Jim. Do you have information about your group? Can you send it our way?
Well, I can give you the telephone number of the exec director, if that would help, or do you want me to email you some stuff?
Yes, email me some. Can you do that?
Sure, I can do that.
Thank you, Jim. That'd be great. That's a good show.
Okay, thank you much.
Thanks. Bye. And the email address, send it to Rhonda as well as me. It's Dunk. I've forgotten to do this all hour. How could I forget? It's Dunk at WPR.org or Fanning, F-A-N, well, send it to both, F-A-N-N-I-N-G at WPR.org in case you don't get through today or if you think of something tomorrow or tonight or, you know, 2 weeks from now, those email addresses are always open to you. All right. Let's go to Chris from Middleton. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I'm reading a book now called Deep Economy, and it's by a fellow who I believe he's a professor at Middlebury College in Vermont, and it's all about more is not better and how building communities is a better way to sustain pretty much everything in our economy and help. It kind of paints the pictures of how small farms, small community farms, will be better for the, you know, for the environment, for the people, than large agribusiness, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
It's an excellent book, and I think he'd be a wonderful, wonderful guest.
Yes, yes, you're right. Great, thank you.
Okay, bye bye.
Bye. Let's go to Virginia from Milwaukee. Hi, Virginia.
Hi, Kathleen. I would like to have a show on something that I just read in the Washington Spectator, which is a March 15th issue on corporate time to build a new corporate democracy. And the whole article is a great deal about how the corporations in the United States practically run our government, that the extraordinary payouts that these corporations have, the executives have, is just horrible, and how it has increased the gap between the poor and the rich, and that they actually have, corporations have, what is called a business roundtable. It's an association that restricts its memberships to CEOs of major companies, and it's probably the most effective union in the country. And they don't ever tell anything about what they're doing.
Hmm.
It's an article that made me so angry, I thought that we have to do something about the lobbyists who are the product of these corporations that oversee what kind of laws are even made in our country or restrict laws being made in our country. I recommend it to you. The man who wrote it is Ian Williams. And it also talks about Massachusetts Democrat Barney Frank, who chairs the House Financial Services Committee. I thought it would be an interesting article,
Virginia,
for everyone.
And when was it printed?
March 15th.
March 15th.
Yeah, it just came out.
That's tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right, we're a day ahead of ourselves. It sounds good, Virginia.
Yeah, good.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Uh-huh, goodbye. Joan from Milwaukee. Hi.
Hello. I'm beating the same drum. Vouchers and the environment. I wish you could find someone who could really give a talk on the difference between voucher costs, given that they don't have to take exceptional ed, and on the third Friday they keep the money and they throw the kids back to MPS, the real effect that the vouchers and charter schools are having on public education, given the number of children who are on paid lunch, free lunch. The article that was just in the paper about Tom Sheedy of the Greater Milwaukee Chamber of Commerce, $1 million or so, which is going into support advertising voucher schools. Are voucher schools what our city is all about? It seems to be a way to destroy the union, not public schools, so we can have cheap labor again. My other concern is water. The compact did not go through, and why a doctor or someone in the family of doctors, as Gunderson and the assembly, the Republicans, why they are using this for votes rather than for the good of our whole area. Water, this water compact needs to be signed, and your show was on in the morning, and it's on again in the evening, and you hit these real issues. So if we have more corn produced and it's going into an inferior fuel, then we are losing good crops, and our basic food costs are going to go up because the farmers need to make money, so mm-hmm. they plant corn. And the privatization in Milwaukee of our candidates, one wanting to privatize the parks, the everything, what this is really going to mean for the control of the people.
All right, on that note, we have to say goodbye. Thanks, Joan. Thanks, everybody, for all of your calls and suggestions, many good ones. We will follow through on them. Thank you to John Treader for answering your many phone calls. And in case you didn't get through, and many of you didn't, lines are still filled here, send us an email if you can. It's dunk@wpr.org. And then send one, of course, to Rhonda as well, who produces the program, Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org. We always like to hear from you. And you have given us some terrific suggestions that we, as you know, if you listen to us, we follow through. We don't do these for nothing. We listen. We have news coming up, and we'll return with more Friday Conversation on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.